The sermonette today has the title, Going to All the World. And we all know that Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. You find that in Mark chapter 16 and in verse 15. Of course, he also said that the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. You find that in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 14. And another reference is in Mark 14:9, where Christ talks about the fact that wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, the action which this one lady did, anointing him, will be mentioned as well. So what do all these passages mean? For instance, when Mark says the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, or rather to every creature. Can the gospel be preached prior to Christ's return to every creature? No, Mark is talking about a process here. Mark is saying that ultimately all will have heard the truth. But Mark doesn't address the idea at all that this has to happen before Christ's return. That would be totally impossible, because some will not have heard the truth. In Isaiah chapter 66, and in verse 19, we read the following interesting statement. This is Isaiah 66 and verse 19. God says, I will set a sign among them, and those among them who escape, I will send to the nations, to Tarshish and Pul and Lut, who draw the bow, and Tubal and Javan, to the coastlands afar off, who have not heard my fame nor seen my glory. And they shall declare my glory among the Gentiles. Now, this is going to be at a time after Christ has returned and the millennium has started. So what does it mean then when Christ says the gospel will be preached in all the world, to all nations? Now, you might recall, those of you who have been in the church for a long time, that Mr. Armstrong felt very strongly, and he announced that the gospel had been preached to the Israelite nations. He said that at the time, and he said that now it also has to be preached to all the other non-Israelite nations. Now, whether you accept that or not, the point is, when he made the comments, obviously not every person in those nations had heard the gospel. For instance, we reached only very few at the time of the Israelite nations in Sweden or in Norway or in Finland. And so there were many Israelite nations we only touched, and most people there had never heard the truth. Today, we reach the vast majority of countries through the internet. But of course, not every person. Will we reach, that's the question now, non-speaking English people in China, in Russia, in other places prior to Christ's return? Now, if you go back to the scripture in Isaiah, which we read, Isaiah 66 and verse 19, let's identify some of the nations which are mentioned there, which have not heard the truth prior to Christ's return. It includes Russia. The reference is Tubal. It also talks about those who draw the bow, in the New King James, but most translations say here it should be translated Meshesh and Rosh, meaning Moscow and the White Russians. Pul is mentioned, but most feel it should be Put, P-U-T, which would mean Libya. Lut would be another Arab nation. Javan is identified with Greece, sometimes with Japan. And then Tarshish is mentioned, which could be a reference to Spain. So this is just an example of nations who, as a whole, will not have heard the gospel prior to Christ's return. And Christ still says, preach the gospel in all the world to all the nations. So let's see now what the Bible means when it uses the words all the world. I think many have a misconception on that, thinking that when it means all the world, it means every single individual must have heard the gospel, or at least every little island, to an extent, must have been reached by the gospel message. Is that what Christ is talking about? Well, let's first of all start with Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 and verse 18. Romans 10 and verse 18. Here the Apostle Paul is saying some interesting things. He's talking about his time. He says, "But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world." At Paul's time. Think about that. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 6. Another very interesting statement by the Apostle Paul, showing that all the world by no means means every single individual on the face of the earth. Colossians 1 and verse 6. "The gospel has come to you as it has also in all the world." Talking about the time of Paul. "It has gone in all the world and is bringing forth fruit." Verse 23 in the same chapter, Colossians 1 and verse 23. He says, "If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you heard, which was preached to every creature under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister." So, was the gospel preached to every creature under heaven at the time of Paul? Well, the answer is obviously no. But what Paul is talking about is that it's going to. It's going to happen. And many times in the Bible, things are represented as if they had already happened, but they are going to. It's a clear-cut statement. For instance, in John 17 and verse 22, that is John 17 and verse 22, we read that Christ gave the glory to us, which he had received from the Father. Now, in that prayer, neither Christ had received the glory. He wasn't glorified yet. And we most certainly have not received the glory yet. But both statements are true because they are going to happen. Christ was glorified when he was resurrected. We are going to be glorified when Christ returns. Another passage, Romans chapter 8 and verse 30. In Romans 8 and verse 30, God says that God has glorified us, has glorified us, past tense. Are we glorified today? Of course not. But we will be. We will be in the future. It is a clear-cut truism. And so many times the Bible uses language in order to show what is going to happen as if it had already happened. And Romans 4 and verse 17 makes this very clear. Romans 4 and verse 17, what does Paul say? It says, "God calls those things which do not exist as though they did." See, Abraham saw something which hadn't happened yet, but he was convinced it's going to happen. And so God sometimes speaks about things which haven't happened yet as though they had already happened. And we have to understand this. When Paul talks in Colossians about the fact that every creature in heaven has heard the gospel, it's something which is going to happen. It did most certainly not happen at the time of Paul. So, look what happened at the time of Paul. Because the Bible makes this very clear. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. And look, let's look again at the phraseology in all the world. And what does it mean? What does it mean? Acts 11 and verse 28. "Then one of them, named Agabus, stood up and showed by the Spirit that there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also happened in the days of Claudius Caesar. In all the world was a very limited area in the Roman Empire at the time. All right? But this is how the Bible uses it, because that was the important area which had meaning for the people at that time. Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. Acts 17 and verse 6. When they didn't find them, it's talking about Paul and his companion, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, "These who have turned the world upside down have come here too." But was Paul in what is today the United States of America? Of course not. These areas were not reached by Paul at the time. Didn't preach to the Indians, American Indians. But still, it talks about he turned the world upside down. That was the area of importance at the time. Notice Acts chapter 24. Acts chapter 24 and verse 5. The same can be said for New Zealand or Australia, other places. The south of Africa as well. Acts 24 and verse 5. It says, "For we have found this man a plague, a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world." Throughout the world. "And the ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes." So Paul was a creator of dissension among all the Jews throughout the world, wherever the Jews were. But I don't know that they were at that time in certain parts of New Zealand, Australia, or maybe, whatever, Iceland. So you got to see the phraseology, because otherwise you are going to come to wrong conclusions. Notice Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. Again, Paul is saying, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith," now he's talking about the faith of the brethren in Rome, "your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." All right? I can guarantee their faith wasn't spoken of in places of the United States of America today, where American Indians lived. That's not what Paul is talking about. That's not what he means. Even though the words are used, the whole world. Now, a scripture which really puts a nail on this, I don't want to say coffin, but anyhow, let's look at Luke. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. How that phraseology is used in this context. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. "It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered." Well, who should be registered? Well, all those in the Roman Empire, apparently. He wasn't talking about anything outside the Roman Empire. He wasn't interested in how many American Indians lived on the continent. Probably didn't know anything about them. So, again, we have those words in all the world, and we got to understand that it doesn't mean at all. It doesn't mean at all every single individual on every single territory in all the world, which is important to understand. Because when Christ says the gospel will be preached to all the nations in all the world, and we have the concept that it has to reach every single individual, first of all, that will never happen prior to Christ's return. And secondly, we might think, oh, we have still a long time to go, because it's not happening. As I've shown you from the book of Isaiah, some people will have never heard it. They will hear it for the first time after Christ's return. So my point today is to show you that we may not have as much time anymore as some may think, looking at scriptures like Matthew 24:14, and misunderstanding at all what that scripture is talking about. And some people look at, for instance, what we are doing, and they might look at the count of the views on certain programs, whether it's a standing watch or of Postenstein or a sermon in English or in German, and the views might be low, and it might become frustrating. And people might say, well, hey, what tiny little unimportant thing are you doing? Look, you're not even reaching a lot of people. Well, first of all, let me say you cannot rely on the accuracy of those views at all. We had a situation this last weekend where we had posted three messages. I believe it was one sermon in German and Standing Watch program in English, another of Postenstein program in German. And even though there were more and more likes, one case way over 40 likes of one program, the views didn't climb at all. It was always the same views, 150 or whatever. And I said that's absolutely not possible, because if you have 40 likes in comparison to, you know, other experiences, it should have been way over 1,000, maybe 2,000. So I knew that was wrong. So what we found out was that the view count of Google didn't work. The entire weekend didn't work. And other people complained about it too and said, oh, you know, I have had about 10,000 views, and according to your view count, it was only a few hundreds. And they were able to kind of ascertain that in other ways. So the point is, don't get discouraged when you see low views. In fact, some takes of programs, post them somewhere else, that wouldn't show up. We saw one interesting situation where somebody had taken our program, put it on his website, and it got over 10,000 views, and we looked at ours, and it had only a few hundred. See, in other words, don't even get discouraged when it comes to that. But my point is, we need to continue doing what we're doing. Doors are opening up. We'll hear some announcements later on about some other languages we are working on. But we need to do what we are told to do, not thinking, oh, we'll have a long time to go because, hey, you know, preaching the gospel, that is kind of, we don't reach too many, because we're reaching a lot more perhaps than we may realize. And furthermore, we are not growing. I hear that too all the time. We are not growing in the church. Look, we don't get that many members, and we don't get that many requests for baptism. Well, you know, let me just say this. We are getting quite a few in the German-speaking areas, more than I think are legit, but we're getting quite a few responses and requests. Not a day goes by over there, actually, where we don't get another request for some piece of literature. But we need to understand that our commission today is what? Preach the gospel in all the world as a witness, as much as we can. Once we preach the gospel, God will call those whom he wants to call and may lead them to the point of repentance and ultimately baptism. And then, of course, in the church, we teach them more than what we actually announce in the gospel. But is the baptism concept, is the concept of growth in the church the most important area? Is that how you determine whether our work is successful or not? Well, have you ever wondered what Paul meant? 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Because people at that time also looked at baptisms. Oh, this was the most important thing. And especially if Paul was the one who did baptize somebody. And Paul had some strong words about this misconception. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you say, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you, except Crispus and Gaius, lest anyone should say that I had baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. This is what I'm trying to get at, verse 17. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. You see the distinction Paul is making? What was most important for him? To preach the gospel. That should be the most important aspect of our work today. Now, if God then calls people in and we can then deal with them up to the point of baptism, fine. But let's not make the mistake thinking, oh, we have to look at how many members we are getting and how much growth we are going to get. Some churches have a lot to say about growth of membership. And looking at the membership they have, it's a very questionable endeavor. Let's put it very mildly. So let's not lose focus as to what we are supposed to be doing. Yes, we are to preach the gospel as much as we can, but also let's not forget that times are becoming extremely interesting in light of what is happening prophetically. Now, let's not make the mistake of jumping the gun and saying, oh, well, you know, tomorrow Christ will come back, or he will come back very, very soon. No, there are things which still have to happen. We should not be all excited about certain events which are taking place, forgetting that other things will have to happen still. We should have the right balance, right? But it can happen very quickly. And frankly, for you, it can happen tonight. Because if you die within the next second of your consciousness, you will stand in front of the judgment seat of Christ. So nobody knows when our day of death is coming. In the meantime, let's do what we're supposed to be doing. Let's preach the gospel as much as we can. Let's not get discouraged about numbers, because you and I don't have any clue as to what numbers we're talking about, how many views are out there. Sometimes we get a slight hint, and, you know, there is one program out there with 145,000 views, whatever. I have no clue as to how many others are seeing those things. And you don't either. And frankly, we don't need to know. Because God says, well, you do your work. You preach the gospel. You preach the word, and it will come back. You know, you don't need to know how, but it's going to come back. It will bear fruit. So let's keep praying for the work. Let's keep praying for doors which can be opened, and we can go through them. And let's pray for God's kingdom to come. And let's not think, oh, we'll have a lot of time, and we don't have to get serious about these things, and we get frustrated because we don't get that many members. Well, I'm very selective, even in Germany, when people ask me for baptism and so on, very selective before I go with that final step. Because, you know, many people live under illusions and haven't really repented and haven't really done what they're supposed to be doing. So again, these were just a few words of admonition, encouragement, I hope. Let's keep praying. Let's keep doing what we're supposed to be doing. Let's not worry about what others may say, what others may do, because that is of no consequence to us.